You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
We would like to welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM, Miss Candace Scott. Welcome. Good morning. How are you?
Thank you. Good morning, and I am quite fine. Thank you so much.
So, first of all, let's talk about how, you know, where you grew up. I know you're a Trini girl. Which part of Trinidad you came from, you know, how that whole journey started.
Wow. I am from Laventille, Old St. Joseph Road, Laventille. I grew up there. I'm from a family of seven siblings, right? Mother and father. And I got into sports while I was in primary school, actually. I started off doing some running. Then I realized I had two left feet, so I can't run. And I ended up doing some netball. I played netball as well as a goal shoot. And when I did common entrance and everything, I went to Barataria Junior Secondary. And that's when I picked up the throws events in track and field. So I would have thrown the shot put, discus, and javelin at that point in time.
So because I remember at some point in time you were doing shot put. I remember that.
Yes.
So thinking about the different sports in athletics, from track and field, the famous 100, 200, 400, and then the relays, and then there's long jump, and then the triathlon events, shot put, hammer throw, javelin as well. Have I missed out any? High jump, all of those different events. What make you decide you wanted to pelt thing? Right, that's the thought process for me, you know. Instead of, you know, long jump, as opposed to, you was upset. You had some anger that you wanted to throw stuff.
Not at all. I find it so funny that you're asking that. In Barataria Junior Sec, that's where I started. Within my form two, they had the school sports, and the PE teacher there saw that I was one of the giants in the middle school, and one of the big girls in them. He said, "Hey, Candace, come on show the tours events." I say, "Okay, no problem, miss, I go do it." And I went and I won all three. I did the shot put, the discus, and the javelin. We don't really have hammer here.
Right. Yeah.
So from there, that's why I continued. I competed for the school, zonals, nationals. Within the school region. And when I went over to Barataria Senior, that's when the idea, you know, when the teacher there said, you know, we could get an athletic scholarship to go to the US. Right? And that was one of my major goals while attending Barataria Senior Campus, to get the scholarship and, of course, make it to the Olympics, because the mindset of well then. And that was what I worked towards. Right, get the scholarship, attend University of Florida, and then anything else happen after that.
Being, as you said, the different girl, right? And sometimes it can be, you know, mentally affected when you hear you're the different girl. Your approach to doing the sport, how different was it? Was your training different? The approach, how was that?
Right, so my mentality was like a horse with blinders. You know, focus on what it is you want to do. And that was me. I didn't have time for boyfriend and whatever else the teenagers were studying at that point in time. I studied in sports, schoolwork and sports. That was my thing. And that's how I ended up getting to where I needed to.
The balance between academics and sports, was that a major role in your life as well? Did they direct you in that direction?
Yes. Of course, I did get some help. I had to repeat Form 5 to get a science and a social science. Because once you're trying to get an athletic scholarship, you have to have certain subjects, right? So not only that, you also have to do something called a SAT test. And you have to make a certain score in order for you to be able to get you to go over there.
And the entry into university out there, the change, what was that like for you? Because You're smiling already, and I'm smiling already, because we already know. But yeah, talk about that, because I think a lot of, well, the public doesn't understand what type of transition that really is, as opposed to how we do sports here and outside. So tell us a little bit about that. So those who are, the young ones who are listening and thinking about it, could prepare themselves as well.
So what I can say, it was a major shift from coming from a little small island. You know, you're laid back and think, oh, you could come late and wherever. It's not like that there. No, I'm talking about attendance, yeah? Because I could give you a scenario. When my first week when I got there, University of Florida, it was raining heavily because we would have training in the morning. And little did I know that I was supposed to find myself in training, because although we would have had to throw in the morning, if we are not able to throw outside, we would do stuff on the inside. So the coach ended up calling me. He said, Candace, where are you? Well, I said, Coach, I'm coming, I'm coming. I had to grab an umbrella and go, you know, because they don't play with the time. They don't play with the time. And as far as the training, they don't play with the training either. It's way different compared to what you would experience here, because it's at a higher level.
And then the different meets as well, interacting with different cultures and, and different temperatures as well. How you worked out with that?
I loved it, actually. See, I went over there with an open mind, you know. I wasn't in a bubble per se. I say, okay, whatever it is I'm going to experience, I'm going to experience, you know, with positive thoughts. Right, so it wasn't that much of a, you know, big deal for me to go and try to integrate, because I know how we are Chinese, we're real chameleons, wherever we go, we're just falling easy, all right? And one thing that I tried to keep was my accent, but just slow down how I
how we speak,
slow it down, because if I'm to start speaking, you know, normal, they would say, what'd you say? I didn't understand you. Right, so I used to have to consciously remember to take my time and speak. But I did meet a lot of, did meet and make a lot of good friends from different countries. A lot of American friends there as well. So,
now the hammer throw is what you're known for, and we will give the news in a minute why I said that. Were there any other disciplines that attracted you that you wish you probably spent a little more time on?
I actually went over there because of the shot put and the discus. Those are the two events that I did before going to the US. And when I got there, that's when I was introduced to the hammer throw. So I ended up dropping the discus and kept the shot put. So I became a shot putter slash hammer thrower. So those are the two events that I focused on.
Do you think you would have liked to do track and field? Continue with it, like probably do like marathons.
I'm not a runner.
Yeah, so TNT, the reason why I'm asking this is because Candace has been given the honor, or I should say has been inducted amongst the greats in the United States from the Track and Field and Cross Country Coaches Association Hall of Fame. So, you know, we have to congratulate her on that. I know that you have been awarded the Sportswoman of the Year three times. I thought it was two, but, you know, it's three times in Trinidad and Tobago. So this is another type of honor internationally, which we acknowledge. Congratulations. First of all, how you got the news? Where were you? You know, what were you doing when they give you the call and say, yeah, you're inside the Hall of Fame?
How I got that news. All right, so one morning I was, you know, scrolling through Instagram, and I noticed I got a message from University of Florida, because I would have had them, you know, I follow them, the Gator Thurs. And the person messaged me and said that the coach, Mike Holloway, he's the head coach for the women's and men's team, was trying to get in contact with me. I say, okay. I replied, I sent my number, right? And I also messaged the coach as well, because they would have given me his number. And right away, probably within 10 minutes, the coach messaged me and told me that, you know, they were trying to get in contact with me, the association, the Track and Field Association, trying to get in contact with me concerning the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, Mr. Holloway, you could go ahead and send my information for them. So he sent my telephone number as well as my email.
Mm-hmm.
And from that interaction, let's say within the hour, my phone rang.
Mm-hmm.
Person name was Sam Seams. He's the big man to see,
mm-hmm,
within that organization. He called me to congratulate me and told me that, you know, they were going to induct me into the Hall of Fame. And at that point in time, was not to say anything to anybody,
mm-hmm,
until they actually make it, you know, official, probably, mm-hmm, like 2 weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
So I had already known. I just didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so
how do you keep a secret like that?
Easy.
You just stay away from people.
don't say nothing.
Right.
I have no problem with that, with saying I know.
Mm-hmm. Now, just to give you an idea, TNT, from the University of Florida, winning 5 NCAA division throwing titles, Division 1,
yeah.
Right? Throwing titles, breaking collegiate records multiple times in both the hammer throw and the weight throw. Her success has carried on to the world stage, where she competed at the Olympic Games and the World Athletics Championships. So let's take a moment to absorb all of that.
Hmm.
That means you've been working from the time you left Trinidad and Tobago to be a part of those games, continuously, you know, advancing and enhancing your training,
mm-hmm,
and to be able to get to the Olympic Games and then the World Athletics. Now, World Athletics comes before the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
To get to the World Athletics, what type of mindset you had to have to do that, to accomplish that?
Now, as I said, I am one with blinders,
mm,
right? I didn't allow a lot of things to distract me,
mm-hmm,
because I know that the training is something that's very serious. You can't, don't play with the training. If you're looking at making it at the highest level,
mm-hmm,
you know, try to keep the distractions at minimum. I ain't saying it wouldn't happen. It, mm-hmm, wouldn't happen. I did get distracted a couple of times, you know, but that didn't derail me,
mm-hmm,
from sticking to my goal, mm-hmm, right? And what I can tell you as far as the training was not easy.
Mm-hmm.
We would have 2 days, sometimes 3 days practice, right? So, mm-hmm, from in my experience, what I can tell you, I will give you an example of, say, like a Monday,
mm-hmm,
right? Now, with notwithstanding, I have classes to attend to because university, I get an athletic scholarship to go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we would have morning training between 5:30 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
Right, between 5:30 and 6, we'd have morning training. That'd be for like an hour and a half, sometimes goes to 2. And then within the time from that training up to the next training in the afternoon, we'd have to try to find some time in between your classes to go to the gym to lift.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if you were able to do that, then you would have to lift after the afternoon throwing session. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So nothing is being missed. We would have to train. We train hard because the girls that I was training with, they were also pretty good as well, because you have to also consider the people that you have around you.
Yeah.
Because they would help to push.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the training wasn't easy. I can, mm-hmm, tell you that for sure. It's not easy, and you have to have a certain kind of mindset to be able to take it.
Now, just from the understanding from the foreign, for want of a better term, mm-hmm, side of how we do things,
yeah,
in terms of Trinidad and Tobago, what was the support like, the athletics association, what was, mm-hmm, the relationship, was there encouragement, mm-hmm, you know, how they helped you along the way?
All right, so at that point in time, they would have had the elite athlete assistance,
mm-hmm,
right? The Ministry of Sport would have been doing that, because I would have, you know, been a recipient of that.
Mm-hmm.
In, let's say, 2003, yeah, that's when I got to the world champs. That's when I started to receive a lot of, you know,
mm-hmm,
I would say help,
mm-hmm,
to, you know, continue with the training and get supplements and stuff like that.
And then there's the Olympics. That's a, mm-hmm, totally different,
oh,
stage.
Yes,
and the I mean, sometimes you could look on the screen and see what the tension is like, but being on the field, tell us a little bit about that. Because I'm sure they would have one or two that would watch you like, oh, please, Trinidad and Tobago, where are you from? Yeah, tell us how you dealt with that.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. See, in my case, you know, having the experience in competing, you know, that's something that you really need, the experience, because that would help shape your mind. So when it is you get to the bigger competitions, because let me take it back to the Crafter Games. So Crafter Games, you're starting there, and then you're going to CAC Games, right? And then we have the Commonwealth Games. We have the Pan Am Games. We have the World Games and then the Olympics. Right, so I was able to compete through all those games, and that actually helped me in, you know, being able to control the nerves. I ain't say the nerves in day, no, it is be day, but you just, I don't know how to channel it into whatever it is you're doing. And me, yes, I was nervous, but I was able to talk myself down, right, and say, okay, block out everything. It's just me, implement, and how far I could show.
And then looking up after and seeing Trinidad and Tobago flag up in the crowd, that must have been
it was so nice to see to see you have the support.
Yeah,
because you know we all over the place now.
In everything. Just the other day, cycling, which I have an interview coming up today too, as another cycling pre is coming up. His name just escaped me, but we are doing really well in those sports as well. He won, I believe, gold in World Championships just concluded. So we're looking to see what the team looks like for the Olympics in about, 3-4 years again? So in terms of the talent that you're seeing, do you think that Trinidad and Tobago has the ability to make it, to be on that scoreboard again?
Yes, we do. As with all the other countries that compete, we all have that ability. Right, because you could look at the other small islands, the Caribbean islands, and they're doing pretty well as well. It may not be in a lot of sports, but you could pinpoint what it is they're doing. It could be in track and field. It could be in, let's take for instance, Cuba. Cuba, they're good in a lot of things. But my experience, I actually went there to train. And I would have seen how the infrastructure is and how hard it is to be there, right? Because our facilities here compared to Cuba is way advanced. It's way advanced because they have some real old lion and thing that they'll be using to train.
But you know, strange enough, the talk here is that Trinidad and Tobago needs to up a level again. But that's an interesting perspective. You know, how you felt in Cuba, because of course Cuba is in the news right now, and you know, the unfortunate exodus, it seems, where Caribbean nations are, you know, pulling away, unfortunately. What was your experience like in Cuba? Is it as controversial as they make it out to be in the news?
When I was there, yes. Yes, it was. Because there are a lot of things that they couldn't do and say. Right? And I was just there to train. I was there training.
And, well, I guess in terms of sport now, you're saying that they have a very robust program as well.
They do.
Do you think with assistance they could really give America or other countries for them run for their money?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah?
I think so. Because, you know, they have a hunger. You know, I want to believe it's because of the situation that they're in. It's like they're seeing sports as an avenue to get better, to get things, right? And I fully understood why.
Yeah.
Because where I stayed, it was like a little academy, like a school type thing, because everything was right there. The school was right across the road from the training facility. You also, if you had injuries and stuff like that, they're taking care of you right there. Everything in one spot, you don't go anywhere. You know, so as far as that aspect, yes, they're real good at that, taking care of the athletes and making sure everybody in tip-top shape.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever resources that they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so... Because I remember also riding in a bus called a cameo.
Mm.
The bus, they call it a cameo, it's camel in, in English. The bus is a long bus and it have two humps. And space in the bus was very limited. You're smelling people inside of it.
Oh dear. You're packed like sardines.
Packed like sardines inside of it. And I said, so if you see it on a movie or whatever, that is true.
Exactly how you see
it's
it.
It's true.
Wow. When we come back, going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how important it is to have support. And then, you know, in your journey. And you'll tell us all about the next step. We'll be right back. And oh, by the way, the type of names that Miss Scott's name will be added to is remarkable. We'll talk about that when we come back. Stay tuned. Till now, if it is that you're just joining me, you kind of miss out on a very interesting conversation with Miss Candace Scott, who has been announced that she will be inducted into the United States Track and Field and Cross Country Coaches Association Hall of Fame. So basically what this means is that the coaches are the ones who have nominated you into the Hall of Fame, which means you had to be exemplary to the coaches to recognize, yes, that's potential, that's commitment, that is sportsmanship and, you know, commitment to the game. Yeah, so we have to congratulate Miss Scott on that. And also, let me just give you a few names of the persons who are already inducted into this Hall of Fame. Her name is amongst legends Jesse Owen and Carl Lewis. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So, TNT, we have to really congratulate her on that phenomenal success. Now, I was a little cheeky in asking about, you know, Trinidad and Tobago's response to their own Hall of Fame. And you just smiled. but I like a little spiciness ever so often. So how you feel about that? how is that?
How do you feel in this? Gail, sometimes I was lost for words. Just seeing the persons that I am actually being inducted with at this time around, the names, Gail Devers. Does that name sound familiar?
Yes, of course.
Gail Devers, Miss Long Fingernails and Long Flowy Hair.
Jackie Joyner Casey.
Jackie Joyner Casey. Yeah, she probably would have been in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Another person, John Godina. You may not know that name, but I know that name quite well. He's a shot putter, and he would have won Olympic medals and World Championship medals as well. And Carol Lewis, I think that's Carol Lewis.
Sister. Yeah.
Right, so.
I think they were twins, if I remember.
I'm not sure.
Either brother or sister. Anyway, from the same family. Yeah.
From the same family, yeah, so. I am being inducted with these people. I'm going to actually meet these people, the ones that I would have seen on TV, you know, to go on. I go and shake hands and take plenty pictures, you know.
Listen, I would have melt. Because you're just seeing these people who, you know, are sporting greats. And you remember, you know, taking the time to sit down in your living room and watch these sprinters, these athletic individuals really, you know, give us the idea of what Olympics is all about, you know, and the camaraderie as well. Yes, there's the competition, but after it's all said and done, the way that people come together, I've said that, you know, probably we should solve all world problems with a game of sport. You know, I thought that's what the Olympics was all about, you know. So tell us what, I believe it's in June that the ceremony will be.
June the 7th, yes.
What are your plans for it? Are you going to be wearing a famous designer? What the outfit going to look like? You know us girls how to talk about that.
I know.
Right? Are you going to be wearing some fantastic designer?
Well, I want to know how to find one. You know anybody? I'm looking at your way, yeah.
We'll talk off here. Don't worry. We'll talk off here. I mean, it's going to be a special occasion, no doubt.
Yes.
You know, and you're going to think about all the people along the way that has helped you carry the torch. And this is where support comes in. Tell me how that has, you know, shaped and formed your journey.
Well, I could tell you from when I first started back in primary school, my mother and father, especially my mother, she was, you know, there all the way. And father, well, he would have, if I need to get something, I get it. We grew up poor, yes. Don't get that wrong, we grew up poor. But when they saw that I was, you know, how I had some potential in doing sports and things, they put aside some resources, you know, in order for me to get, you know, if I had to get shoes, if I had to get clothes, that kind of thing, right? And then going into school, going to secondary school, university, is family, with mostly time family, and you know, some close friends. And also the associations, like the Olympic Committee and the NGAs. You know, they were always there in the background.
For young people listening right now, because we just concluded zonals, and speaking of primary school, my primary school getting bad. But anyway, you know, starting from that age, how, you know, what word of advice you would give to them? Because I see these young people with such potential and, and, you know, zeal on their face.
Yeah.
Give some advice to them.
My advice would be to keep going. Keep going. Have a goal in mind and focus on that. No, you would have some bumps anyway. You might get injuries and whatever else, but just keep the goal in mind and keep working.
And for those who, I'm thinking of the young people as well, who are making the mark. Do you have any, like, people you're watching as the new crop come up? You know, that you could mention doing pretty well, and just encourage them?
No, I'm not looking at anyone at this particular time. But my advice would be is... keep your eyes on the prize. I keep stressing on that. It's a lot of discipline. A lot of discipline. Blood, sweat, and tears.
So corporate TNT, when it is you see athletes are coming with their requests, you know, pay a little more attention, you know, and really check out what they are, what they're doing, and what the goal is. Now, going back to understanding how Trinidad and Tobago wants to position themselves in the athletic scene. Are there any things you would like to see changed in terms of how they do their business and how they interact?
Well, I think at this point in time, they are doing some work where they would be doing the developmental meets for the athletes to keep their, you know, their tricks and whatever it is due to keep it sharp, right? To keep everything sharp so that when it comes along to the national championships, well, they have the junior and senior championships, and we would have the Crafter Games, if you're looking at those at this point in time, because they have that every year, in order for them to, you know, keep the game, to keep the game. So that is one thing I know that they do for the developmental meets, to keep the athletes active, right? And I believe for the national champs, sometimes they bring in some of the, you know, foreign athletes from the other, Caribbeans that would come in and compete as well.
Let me quickly take a look at the messages at 3061065. If you would like to send congratulations to Miss Candace Scott, you can send them to 3061065. Of course, we can take calls 625-2257, 627-3223 as well. So... one of my last questions, what is your hope for Caribbean sports? You know, we're talking about CARICOM and coming together and all of that. Do you see us as, are we going to be a force in that, or we need more work? But before you answer that, let's take this call quickly before we get on to that question. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning.
Pascal, good morning.
Good morning, how are you doing?
Good morning to your guest.
Hi, morning, good morning.
I see Kishon World Cup open up a medical facility.
Really?
I'm coming to that just now.
Oh, he did. All right.
You are a groundbreaker and a pioneer in many regards, because the sport that you are involved in is a sport that was limited to a certain group of persons. If you understand what I see, and you know where I'm coming from, in times gone past, in time, colonial times, for example, you would not find somebody like your guest participating in a sport like that. And over the years, I've noticed, particularly in the last 10 years, for example, the Caribbean, who in colonial times only dominated in the 100 meters, for example, in the Olympics, and after that, their Olympics done. Now, we are participating in almost every area of sport, swimming, athletics, and track and field. Mm-hmm. This year, we set a team to the Winter Olympics.
Stranger.
It's amazing. It's amazing. That's why I call her a pioneer, because the area that she's got involved in, and glad that she gave some insight into to the process of becoming a track and a field athlete, the journey to college and all of that, and the different the culture shock and all of that. I'm glad that she gave on things. I have one question for you, madam. Could you give some insight into how you plan to move forward now that you have experience, all of your experience, and coming to the end of your career? What is in store for you post retirement? I'm looking at what Kishore and Walker do. I don't know what your plans are. I'd love to hear.
Thanks so much for your call. In other words, are you opening a business as well? But I mean, really and truly, tell us about that. Would you think you would be welcomed in the coaching arena in TNT for opening up other spots in the hammer throw? As he said, it's an unusual sport within the whole athletics.
It is.
Yeah, you would consider that?
Yes, I would consider it, you know, because as he rightly said, the other Caribbean islands, they are getting into other sports, right? And this event in particular, we are not really known for it. We are known for sprints.
Mm-hmm.
Sprints, now getting in the middle distance. And but as far as the hammer throw, I am the only one so far.
Yeah.
In the English-speaking Caribbean.
That
who
is true.
Would have gotten it, that far, the world champs and the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know, short put, more than anything, Miss Borrell.
Yes, Cleopatra.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember I don't think there were men. No, there was one. Can't recall his name at the moment, but he kind of just faded out a little bit. But the javelin, Kishon.
Yes, yes, yes. Of course,
right, we know Kishon.
We know Kishon.
Right? Long jump is another sport that's fast coming on.
Mm-hmm.
Triple jump, I'm not too sure if we have athletes in that. Definitely, we know the relays, and we seem to be doing better in the relays than the other distances on track, you know. So we have our gems here and there, but Kira made a good point in that probably we need to talk more about those other specialty categories, so that persons who might be interested in trying it,
yeah,
you know, and looking at that avenue. So soon we will be hearing about Coach Scott. I want to thank you so much for taking the time for coming to tell us all about it.
Mm-hmm.
And congratulations once again.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy yourself.
Let me talk after. I want to find out who's your stylist.
Well, girl, we have a lot to talk about. I appreciate you.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.